Lincoln Inspire is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Thanks to Jill Hart from Lincoln Inspired for sending some details of some forthcoming events. Very exciting, coming up between now and Christmas. Shall we tell the listener what those events are, Katie?
I think we should.
That's very true, yes. OK, well, Lennox will just wait a few seconds. He might like to come along to Friday the 1st of November, which is the birthday bash for Lincoln Inspired, in which we celebrate being 1 year old. That's 1 year old. Lincoln Inspired, amazing. And to celebrate that, there's going to be a fantastic musical evening at Lincoln Drill Hall at 8 p.m. with music patron Elliot Morris, and indeed all-time wonderful artist Elliot Morris, performing at 8 p.m. And he'll also be launching his new EP, and also be accompanied by the phenomenal David Gibb and Ellie Lucas, BBC Radio 2's Young Folk Awards finalists from 2011. So fantastic stuff. The tickets are mere £8 from lincolndrillhall.com on the web. Of course, you can call them directly on 01522 873894. Do you think that's all, Ed?
Well, I think there might be a literary quiz.
Oh, we're jumping ahead. We're jumping ahead. So let's go to Sunday, the 17th of November, when you have an evening with science patron Paul Money. Paul, who's joining us in LSJ Presents this very evening, Cargill Lecture Theatre, completely free for Paul Money this Monday, of course. That's at the LSJ Cargill Lecture Theatre. Will you be there, Will Longman?
I will try and make it along, yes.
Oh, yeah, see. There's astronomy, science writer, and so on. But you can also catch Paul on Sunday, the 17th of November, where he'll be talking about the highlights of the night sky for 2014 and signing copies of his new Night Scenes publication for the coming year. So great stuff from that point of view. And again, you can actually access details for that from the collection at their boxes, box office, Lincoln 782040. That's 782040. 782040, obviously preceded by 01522 if you're using mobiles or such like. And then, Ian, I know you're ready in like a greyhound in the slips there, ready to go. Don't worry, we'll be fine. Then, Ed, we've actually got Wednesday, the 4th of December.
Do we have a venue for this one yet?
We do.
Ah, go on then.
The literary quiz night is at Cafe Portico, The Terrace, in Grantham Street. And I'll read exactly what Jill Hart has written for this. This will be a general knowledge quiz beginning at 7:45 p.m, but the doors will be open from 7 p.m. for you to have the opportunity to sample the great food on offer from this fully licensed bar. That's Cafe Portico, The Terrace, Grantham.
Street.
Grantham Street.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done. Could have easily headed off there. Grantham Street. Yeah, that's really good. Important. Alex Lefchuk of Siren FM will again be our quizmaster extraordinaire. Very good. And another fabulous evening will certainly be had. There we are. Tickets are mere £2 per head from Cafe Portico, or you can actually book by email once again. Book early, as space is limited. It's very true, isn't it, Katie?
Yeah.
So, will you be there?
Maybe.
That'll be
I
yes.
remember last time yeah. I come last in the literary quiz.
Yeah, well, you know, will you be there? Will you be getting a group of teams together?
I think I would surely embarrass myself in the literary quiz, so it may be a laugh.
Well, exactly. Just bear in mind, it is Wednesday, 4th of December, so you need to obviously make alternate arrangements for your Brayford Pool show. Although it's 6 to 7. Is it 6 to 7? Or
yes. Yeah. Oh, well, so yeah. I could run along. Maybe.
Absolutely. That's why we said, because obviously, right. Right, well, I'll press this button here now.
Journalist, TV producer, novelist, and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yay. Sorry about that, Ian, but, you know, these things have to be sorted through. You know, you've worked in the media. You appreciate the importance of trading ahead and keeping people interested in these kind of things.
Don't worry. I understand.
There we are. Excellent. So, how's life, Ian? Are you excited by the Great British Bake Off? Have you got your tickets booked for Brazil?
No, I haven't.
Oh, right.
I watched the game.
Yeah. Well, as Sir Paul McCartney said when he was live on another radio station yesterday, a superb performance, although he was well on form. Gerrard and Rooney, you know, Liverpool lead the way, clearly. I'm a Liverpool fan, but it's just an interesting line on that. So happy to see the lads go through. I think it was a fair result.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, it's very important they got through. And I think the manager's done a good job with what he's got.
Are we going to win it?
I tell you probably didn't see on the same evening before that game at Portland Road, I think it was, the under-21s played. and they've won 5-0
against Lithuania.
And they looked a really promising team, actually.
Yeah,
there's three or four players who you would think might just make the England squad before they go to Brazil.
Looks very exciting in every sense of the word. That's what we like to hear, and it's good stuff there. Will, are you a football follower?
Yes, I watched the game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I was happy to see England go through, but I was slightly disappointed. I thought we could have won at least 4-0, which weren't finishing.
But
The danger was that England were missing chances. The two strikers missed quite a few chances before the goals went in, and the Poles have got a world-class striker.
I'd like to point out that
scored three or four goals if you've been playing for England.
Blasinovsky, and you know there were a couple of turns where I think it could have been interesting. Anyway, it wasn't.
Well, it could have been 1-1. The guy was offside by an ankle, wasn't he?
And then it would have been the playoffs, but never mind. Well, Ed, I can see your eyes glazing over.
You see me just glazing over at the very thought of a football pitch.
I did
hear about this game. It was between England and Poland, wasn't it?
It was.
And I did hear people discussing it with relation to a historic game between the two sides.
1973.
You see, now I have my finger on the pulse this much. Did it change my week? No, it didn't.
Oh, well, there we are. Okay, so Katie, any questions that you'd like to put to Ian about, I don't know, life, the universe, the media, you know, shorthand?
Espresso.
I'm not sure.
Were you fuelled as a journalist, Ian, by extremely high quantities of caffeine, or was it just a case of, no, this is a drug-free zone for the Evening Chronicle?
We had a thriving canteen at the old Chronicle, and I used to drink, but I never drank copious amounts of coffee, no. We worked hard when I was young.
I know, exactly, and it's critical, you know, that sort of line
continues. I was teaching at university, as you know, in media studies, and it's entirely different. We had to learn empirically, you know, we just went out, and... just did the job, and you had to learn as you went.
So we need to find out from Will Longman, how is your shorthand going, Will? This is now going up to your second week now, or is it third week?
Second, I think.
Second week, exactly. Well, it's, you know, week three, but it's very important. what are you most looking forward to in this upcoming thing when you leave the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and bound like a gazelle into your next particular piece, which is, of course, The Hand of the Short?
I think, ironically, the thing I'm most looking forward to is getting back home and having a coffee.
Right.
Coffee? Oh, I see. Ed's practicing.
I'm going to give you a little test.
Are you always
very terrific.
This works so well on radio, I find it. Here we are,
You can tell me what letter that is.
What do you think?
An F.
Correct.
I thought it was a D.
100%.
You can tell I'm not a journalist.
You knew it was an F, didn't you, Ian? You could see that.
I thought about not having an opinion as I can't see them.
You know, it works.
Having said that, though, I gather you've got some students in the studio.
I know, it's a bit of a shocker, isn't it?
Really, it really is the most important thing to have a good shorthand note. Every so often you find yourself in conflict. I had a situation once where I quoted somebody quite accurately, but they chose to deny it because the article was embarrassing to them, and I didn't have a good shorthand note, so it didn't give me that confidence to challenge them, you know. Where some of my friends had a shorthand note of about 180 words a minute, and they used to go and you know, the court case and stuff like that, and they're very, very comfortable with everything. I find it an extremely boring subject, but like a lot of boring things, it's very important, I'm afraid.
It looks like maths.
Is it what?
It looks like maths, like a lot of symbols you get in maths.
Yeah, well, you're doing a different shorthand. I did Pittman shorthand.
T-line.
You're doing a different one, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know. It just looks like Arabic to me.
Hieroglyphics.
Might have did when I was doing it as well.
Hieroglyphics and Arabic, very, very strange.
Yeah.
Still, never mind. The joys will continue. Ed, anything you'd like to put to Ian about what he's been doing this week or more?
How are you embracing the autumn, Ian?
Reluctantly, I'm afraid. My hammock's come in from the garden.
Oh, no.
I've cut my walking down, which is stupid of me because I need that. And the summer heating's going on earlier. It's like a It's like preparing for a siege when you get to my age, I think.
It's like preparing for Christmas, but we don't mention Christmas. Oh! I think 69 days, 68 now until the big day. How
really?
Exciting is that? Yes.
I hesitate to say, when a long time ago, Christmas had a different meaning to it, and now it's just totally commercial for me.
It's never totally commercial when you've got the spirit of Christmas there, yeah?
I love Christmas.
There we are, you see.
Right.
I love getting home and being with the family. It is family time for me, not...
Oh, well, that's great. Home. That's smashing, yeah. But, I mean, I'm sick to death of people trying to have Christmas sales on and go out and buy and spend more money or this, that and the other.
Yeah, I know.
They're quite late in Newcastle if they've got Christmas sales. Surely it'd be New Year sales by now, I would have thought, you know.
Well,
have they got the Easter eggs out on the high street at present?
Newcastle, actually, has got one of the great Christmas displays in it.
Phoenix?
The Phoenix window.
The Phoenix window.
It'd have a Christmas theme and all these sort of automated figures. Mm-hmm. And thousands and thousands of people come to see it. Mm. And when I was in television once, one of the best things I ever did, although it's trivial really, I suppose, was to hide a camera at the back of the window, or the windows. It's about 40 yards, 30, 40 yards. And filming the people watching. And all these kids, their faces and their mothers, it was extraordinary to see they're completely encaptured by the figures and things, and the kids were just, their faces were just absolutely shining with wonder, you know? And the parents, of course, were sort of beaming because they realised their kids were so engaged by it.
And that's part of the magic of life, you see. That's like sort of gathering together and actually reading out the latest Honan Cruikshank piece of satirical news, you know, that kind of collective routine. I feel we've lost that somehow. What do you think, Will? You think we've lost that?
It's almost like you do lectures on Honan Cruikshank in satire, isn't it?
Is that so? You just wait to today's sort of session, my boy. We'll be going into all sorts of exciting things, including fairies.
I look forward to it.
There's nothing there's nothing more wonderful than actually sort of checking out the Arthur Conan Doyle view on the Cottingley fairies.
Ah, right, yeah. He was fooled by it, wasn't he? Two little girls fooled.
Steady, I think the legal writs are still there. No, we'll be finding out about that and more, obviously, in various sort of events, etc. Would you like to pass your critical comment on Cameron Tilbury's musical choice for this week, Mr. Lennox?
Well, I haven't heard it yet, have I?
No, that's what I say, would you like to? Because obviously we're set ready to go. So
I thought you wanted me to speak
about something you've never heard.
I'll give it a go.
Right,
oh, by the way, this is a three-line whip I've got here. My eldest daughter's husband is in a group, mm-hmm. and they've just made some records.
Well, send it down.
Will you?
MP3 them, as we say in the fashion. As long as they don't have naughty words in, we'll be okay, I'm
no,
sure.
No, they're all teachers.
Exactly, as long as they don't have naughty words in, we're okay. Yeah.
No.
So is this what they're doing when they're actually on strike then? They're actually making records? Sorry, that's a political point. I can't go on that sort of basis. I don't know where we could be going. It's Jump Off This World, as far as Cameron Tilbury's selection is concerned. Here it comes.
I'm gonna jump off this world for a while. Jump off this world for a while. I'm gonna jump off this world for a while till I can't breathe again. Oh yeah.
Well, three of us in the studio, second time round. Will Longman, what did you make of Jump Off This World?
It's very nice, it's mellow, laid out.
Kind of sets you up for the whole day. Katie, second time round?
It's growing on me.
Yeah, Ed?
Yeah, I was kind of a bit more aware that it's produced really well, that.
Yeah,
very nice to put
it. But of course, we might have our opinions. You know, at the end of the day, Nashville holds its breath. It's currently about, I think, 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m, holding its breath for the Ian Lennox view on this. Ian, what did you make of Jump Off This World?
It's quite listenable, if that's a word.
There we are. Quite listenable.
It bounces along. But when I was listening to it, I thought, well, you know, before I came on air, you were playing Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. And when you hear a really great band, mm. one that's going to survive for years and years. Yeah, you've only got to listen to, for about
so you're suggesting
10 seconds and you know you're listening to something special.
Yeah, yeah.
And with all due respect to this guy.
You didn't get that feeling there.
No, I didn't. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know,
it's
the Bon Jovi are one in
they're probably
tens of thousands, I thought. Yeah. This guy is perfectly good and should make a good living singer. Yeah,
exactly. It's very important.
Do you like Black Sabbath?
I haven't heard them, I don't think. My sort of musical sort of listening stopped around about Dire Straits.
No, that's not strictly true, Ian. I mean, you introduced us to, of course, the delightful Dead Belgians.
Oh, yes, yeah, they stayed with me, though.
There we are. So if you want Ian to listen to you, move in with him for a few days. That's all you need
to do.
I'll do
charge rent, mind.
Well, there's always a balance. It's very important.
Yeah.
Have you had a reasonably interesting time with us, Will Longman?
I have, yes.
And you're off to your shorthands now.
I will be, yeah.
From that
good luck, Will.
Yeah,
thank you.
Say good luck.
And show me your pencils.
Always very important. And will you be back to inform us as to how that shorthand has gone next week?
Of course.
Very good. And, of course, you start your own show on Wednesday.
Yes,
that's cool. Have you got a title for that show?
Not yet. It's a working title.
It's a working title.
So we'll get there.
Right, working title. And it will be featuring what sort of things will be in the first programme?
Let's call it working title.
I think so. I think that's
good. There you go, yeah. Wednesday's working title.
Wednesday's working title, yeah. It might be a bit sophisticated for the Brayford listener, but never mind. It's
all right.
Good stuff. It's online, Brayford Radio. And you can catch him there. Obviously, also from the University of Lincoln, of course, home of Lincoln's first community radio station, which is what you're listening to now, Siren 107.3 FM. Will, would you like to ask those last two questions to Ian Lennox, because I don't think you've actually done that
I think you gave me the opportunity last week and I got it completely wrong.
Yeah,
I didn't know what you were asking.
It's the second time. The ball is passed across, the goal is open. What are you going to do?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Ian?
Yes, I have.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again?
Indeed you can.
Brilliant. He shoots, he scores.
Score.
I've seen the world. Will you still love me when I'm no longer beautiful? Will you still love me when I'm not young and beautiful?
I don't know, actually, Lana. But we'll come to that when we sort of cross that bridge, shall we? Lana Del Rey, who always reminds me slightly, just slightly, of Ilana Rain. Or is it the reverse? Ilana Rain, ace director, reminds me slightly of Lana Del Rey. We'll might put that to Ilana when she joins us on the Midweek Drive next Wednesday. Katie, you've got another listener for us.
Yes, it's my mum.
Hello, Sharon.
Good morning.
Good morning. Would you like to say hello, Sharon, and good morning, Ed? Or would you just like to say, no, I'm sorry, I've seen the outside of your house and that's quite enough?
Absolutely. I would like to say good morning to you, Sharon, and good morning to the rest of Erdington as well.
Erdington, yes.
Erdington. Astounding. You know, I didn't think such a name could be given to a particular set, but there we are. Erdington
I shall
is
be passing on Tuesday.
You could pop into that calf as well.
Yeah, it's a Winnie.
Splendid. Talking about snacks, Dr. Sandra Scott will be talking about how Britain is becoming a nation of, well, basically snackaholics. No, we're actually becoming snackered. Let's face it, snackered with the whole thing. So Sandra Scott will be talking about the importance of that, just ahead of William Sitwell. And as mentioned, we've got Bill Cowling from Countryside Live, who will be talking about this upcoming weekend in Harrogate, of course, countrysidelive.co.uk. And Alan Stevens will hopefully be joining us. Alan, I spoke to actually the Stevens household with Fiona Moore, who was there, and I really found it quite a surreal experience earlier in the day where we thought Mr. Computer was doing very strange and bizarre things. And then I got through to Fiona, who, in essence, was very much out of breath. She took the call while she was actually on her exercise machine. At least that's what she said she was doing, exercise machine. most surreal. Hopefully she's all sorted out and in good form. Not that she's actually joining us. Alan Stevens will be talking about the latest on his audio drama Radio B, as we refer to it. We'll talk about that and more on the Midweek Drive morning edition, Siren 107.3 FM. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, of course, if we're keeping the morning themes going, we've got Ed and Jeff, that's Jeff and Ed, doing the Friday breakfast show with lots of wonderful things, including lots of traffic and travel updates and so on. Anything else?
Triathlete news tomorrow.
Triathlete news tomorrow as well. It's even more wonderful.
Yeah, and
I haven't even talked about the joys of the No Adults Allowed show later on today. It's called Training Ahead, cross-featuring the news from the Sky News Centre, coming up very shortly. All this and more on Siren 107.3 FM.
Check out the online interviews, audio postcards, and more from the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Splendid weather today. 15 degrees centigrade is the high. Low of 12 degrees centigrade. It's going to be generally good with sunny spells and generally mild breezes. Perfect weather for the sister show to the fantastic Yorkshire agricultural show, the Great Yorkshire Show, of course. We're now into the 11th year of its sister show, the show which has just grown and blossomed and is really the highlight of October, Katie Grimerson. You know, what show might I be referring to?
That would be Countryside Live.
It would be Countryside Live. And whom, Ed Wellman, do you think would be the best person to actually speak to when we start talking about Countryside Live?
With any luck, it would be Mr. Bill Cowling.
It would indeed be Mr. Bill Cowling. How are you, Bill? Are you well, alive and hale and hearty?
Absolutely, all of those things. And as you have just mentioned, looking forward to the weekend.
It's always a fabulous time. I must admit, a few years ago when you had a robot there, I thought, this is unbelievable here. He just sort of moves onto there. But we've got so many good things there. Chainsaw carving. We've got carving with chainsaws. We've got various activities. I mean, there's just something for everybody over the 2 days.
Yeah, I think very family-focused. A lot of things for the younger members of the family. Hands-on things to do, from chance to drive a little digger to see the animals, and a lot of very hands-on experiences for our young visitors, but parents and adults too, you know, livestock, horses, arena driving trials this time, first time ever.
Brilliant stuff. Now, Katie, it's going to be your first Countryside Live event.
I can't wait to go. It sounds so much fun. What are you looking forward to most about it?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to this year, and I always do for that matter, is in the livestock classes, in the sheep and in the cattle, we have some things called young handlers competitions, where the next generation, some of them very young, some of them down, you know, only 8 or 9 or 10 years old, start on the road to showing cattle and sheep. And it's wonderful to see the interest and the enthusiasm for young people coming into showing.
And it's the quality that you actually get there. I mean, Lou Bevin, who may be joining us as well, being well one of our Countryside correspondents, who I know we've spoken at length with yourself and Lou. I mean, he sort of maintains that really this not just extends the show season, but it kind of keeps, you know, the buzz going for the rural town package that we've got, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely it does, because I think it's a great opportunity for us as farmers and food producers to show the visitors what we do, how we produce the food, what food is available, and fill in a few gaps in their knowledge perhaps, but also give an enjoyable day out.
Ed, you're busily typing away there in all sorts of things. Have you been pulling up online material about Countryside Live?
I have. I've been having a look at what we can do, including archery, sheep show, ferret racing, birds of prey displays, and also there's some fine-looking vegetables on here, and I gather that school children...
That's a bit rich for the publicity team at the Great Yorkshire Show, and Judy Thompson would be most annoyed about that. Sorry, Bill, you saw what I did there. Whoa. Bless her heart. Carry on.
And I gather that school children are being invited to bring in produce and stuff that they've actually grown themselves.
Yeah, we have competitions... vegetable competitions, some flowers, but mostly vegetables this time of year, and that includes classes and competitions for young people as well, which is great, of course. Again, it's the same thing as I mentioned with the young handlers in the livestock classes. It's generating, creating this interest in the next generation of show people.
And when you talk about interest there, Bill, you've got a record 3,184 entries this year, and so Countryside Live and events like it are growing, aren't they?
Well, this one particularly is. It's something that's, over the last 15 or 20 years, I suppose, these autumn shows have become more common, and the interest is huge. Mm. As Alex said earlier, it's sort of, I think we're almost extending the show season a little bit, but they're a very different animal to the summer shows. And they're sort of taking us into winter, and shopping opportunities, Christmas presents, all that sort of thing, as well as the agricultural side of it.
I think what's great is that we've attended Lincolnshire, Yorkshire, Nottinghamshire so far this year, and others. And the exhibitors, when you talk to them, they've got a story to tell, haven't they? And they're all interesting people.
Absolutely that, and you know, and so many different aspects of, you wouldn't believe there could be so many different stories. You think everybody that was showing a cow or a sheep would be the same, and everyone is completely different, from different parts of the country, different motivation to show, and different things they're getting out of showing.
That's what I find it interesting, because you get to hear about different people's experiences.
Very much so, and it's wonderful, isn't it, as to how, you know, some people are showing cattle and sheep for their business, as it were. Some people are showing it because that's what they enjoy doing, and hopefully there's a bit of both in both of it.
Certainly adds to the quality of the whole experience, and you can see, Bill, I can just let the team sort of get on with the work, and I'll join you for a sandwich or a cup of tea or something.
Yeah, well, that sounds like not a bad idea, doesn't it?
Exactly. You know, next generation, we'll work our way through that. Yeah. Clearly, it's too late to actually go online to get tickets for countrysidelive.co.uk now. That's the web address if you want to find out more details on that. But are tickets still available on the door?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There will be people, you know, people can sort of poll up and pay, and they would still be able to come into anybody who was near the offices here to come and pick them, get by them before if they wanted.
Okay.
But the main thing, you know, no problem paying on the door at all. We shall be delighted to take money off anybody that turns up.
And, well, there we are.
And hopefully, have a nice day.
I like to see it, Bill, as more a kind of case of it's an exchange of energy rather than taking money off people who attend. I mean, you know, you provide an experience of joy and wonderment that's actually priceless. I mean, I think that's the key.
I think that probably sums it up beautifully.
Well, there you are.
I think we can maybe use that in next year's advertising campaign.
There you go. And in talking about that, I know Katie will hopefully be doing some blogging duties, because we spoke with Judy earlier and about the possibility of doing, as we did for the Lincolnshire show this year, kind of regular tweeting and blogging sort of aspects of the whole thing.
Yeah, will be.
Oh, so good. That's good.
The social networking factors will be in full force as well.
Writing some reports on it as well.
Yeah, it's all great stuff. So, Ed, last two questions for Bill Cowling at the moment, please.
Bill, I'm just checking out countrysidelive.co.uk and also Twitter, YAS Countryside. So that's the first port of call, isn't it?
As in Yorkshire Agricultural Society, that is. Not
Yaz. Not Yaz.
Yaz.
Y-A-Z-Z.
Exactly. And a plastic population, obviously.
Right, and the only way is up, which it is this weekend. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get to the questions. Bill, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the morning edition today?
Oh, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to speak to Alex and his team and you know, because it's always slightly different to some of the other radio stations.
Yeah, well, we like to keep the edge fresh, Bill.
We're unique.
Precisely. professional but different.
We'll be discussing the meaning of the word different for an hour after the show.
Exactly.
And can we look forward to connecting with you? Well, we'll see you Sunday, Bill, and Alex may see you Saturday as well, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. Well.
No, well, I shall be there both days, and whichever day you turn up, we will be delighted to see you, and I hope when you do come, you really enjoy what you see and what you find.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
On Siren FM that we are what we eat to a large extent. We weren't aware, though, that not only students but also workers around the country are actually snackered after a burst of energy that starts the day and then, by 10:30, It's all going downhill. To address this and to begin to actually give us her own input into ways to actually cope with this, we are delighted to welcome the United Kingdom's most experienced media psychiatrist, truly wondrous soul, Dr. Sandra Scott. How are you?
I'm very well. After that introduction, how wouldn't I be?
It's just cool. I mean, when you've been a consultant for Dancing on Ice, I'm a Celebrity, Hell's Kitchen and 71 Degrees North, clearly that's added to the CV immeasurably. So wow. It's a great stuff there. Now, this particular survey, which obviously 72% of us feel in great condition when we start the day, but as it begins to progress, it's not just circadian rhythms, we're effectively getting more and more tired.
Yes, exactly, yes. I was quite struck by that. You would think, you know, you have a good hearty breakfast that you should be fine, but no, according to the Popchit survey, that's just not the case. It seems as if that most of us feel our energy is fading as the day goes on, and a third of us, this happens all the time.
It's particularly off base when you actually start talking about not just employment, but across the routine. Is there a way of actually, is it a case of more carbohydrates? We need better breakfasts? Is it simply a case of nutritional supplements that our coenzyme Q10 isn't working really?
Well, I mean, you know, I think obviously there's going to be a multitude of approaches to resolving this. But a lot of things that suggested, you know, people feel beyond them. You know, we have busy lives. You know, they're rushing around. Often people just grab the nearest thing for breakfast and they're out the door, sometimes even eating the breakfast on the tube. In fact, one study showed that 10% in the States, so 10% of us skip breakfast. So the reality is you hit work and then, you know, and then, as according to the survey, is your energy is fading through the day. So what to be done? Well, it seems that one of the things you can do, so realistically, is to have a snack. You know, it's interesting that, you know, snacking used to be considered a bad thing, you know, almost like a bad word, and, you know, it actually sort of suggests that it was unhealthy. But then, so there have been a number of studies that have shown that snacking can be good. So, for example, there was a survey by NPD, which is a market research company, that showed that people with the healthiest diet ate 36% more snacks than those who didn't.
It's interesting insofar as, from the mental point of view, there are coaches of athletes, and indeed our very own Liz Brewer, who was visiting the university recently. We were talking about the notion that if you keep saying, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, you kind of mentally build yourself into the expectation that you will be tired. Yeah. Is that part of the area we need to think about saying, well, actually, I have got the energy, I will continue through the day?
Yes, I think, well, there's two things. Absolutely. I think that not just giving in to the first time you feel tired and a bit whacked, just sort of saying, yes, I'm tired and going with it. But there are sometimes it may be that the reason we're feeling tired is actually to be associated with our blood sugar running low, because certainly tiredness can be a sign of that. And, you know, when our blood sugar's low, and one of the sort of telltale signs is, well, you know, is this just mentally I'm feeling tired or something else is going on, is whether or not we're feeling hungry. And certainly if you're feeling hungry and you're feeling tired, then it could be time for a snack. And then certainly, according to the Popchit survey, most of us find that if we have a snack, we get an energy boost. So it's working.
There's something slightly piquant and almost tragic about 6% who actually choose to snack privately in the bathroom or toilets. Don't do it, please.
Well, you know? I think you're very kind. Sad is not exactly was not my first thought when I saw that stat. A little concerned about the health and safety issues of having your snack in the bathroom. Yeah. I think that snacking, you know, again, if we look at the survey, snacking, you know, it can be good. It certainly doesn't need to be part of an unhealthy lifestyle. That snacking has been shown to sort of curb, you know, overeating. So in actual fact, that because, you know, if you snack well, your snack should be complementing your meals. You know, they shouldn't be replacing them. And it's maybe you should be thinking more about how to snack well rather than not snacking. And so then you can get the best out of snacks. You can get that energy boost when you need it, you know. And again, sort of realistically, not all of us, you know, during the middle of the day when we're full of an energy stump and we feel hungry, can one of them go and have a meal? Most of us have to be practical about it. And that's when a snack really comes in.
There's a fairly popular commercial going the rounds at present with Joan Collins and Stephanie Beecham, which we won't obviously mention in terms of the line of things, but talks about divas and such like, and the possibility of lashing out at colleagues or even their boss at work if they're suffering from low blood sugar or a bit antsy from that point of view. Yes. So it's important to keep a balance right in that situation as well, I would have thought.
Exactly. Well, you know, if your blood sugar's running low, you know, and you're feeling hungry and you're feeling tired, this can be distracting. And it's really not surprising that you're likely to lash out your boss or sort of, you know, know, you don't feel like staring at your computer screen if your stomach is rumbling and you're feeling tired and shaky. You know, you have more urgent matters to attend to.
And some of those traditional features that we often were told are good, like porridge in the morning to actually help you through the day, is that again a notion that nutritionists are coming around saying, actually, yes, it's got a plus to it as well?
Oh, absolutely. Those, you know, complex carbohydrates, you know, the slow release of energy, so, you know, fending off the hunger for longer. But that's really looking at, you know, at your meals. So certainly in terms of if you're finding your energy is fading during the day, then, you know, and according to the survey, that really is most of us, then you should be thinking about all of your food intake, thinking about looking at your meals more nutritious. And as you're talking about sort of eating foods, whether you have a slow release of energy so you can you have a better release throughout the day, but also be looking at your snacks.
The energy that's required, certainly, to work in the media and, dare I say, in higher education, is critical from that point of view. Do you find that when you are providing advice or analysing things, that contestants on shows or indeed just performers, they need to work through that? Because we're notorious, certainly, in terms of presenters and academics as well, it has to be said, for skipping and saying, oh, we'll cope without that and putting it off and so on.
Oh, I think what you certainly do find is with this sort of quite erratic schedules, is what you do find a lot is people skipping meals. You know, that the meals are eaten in a very, you know, food is grabbed in a very irregular fashion, and so it's not surprising that people are having issues, certainly within, you know, in the media world, with their energy levels.
So the concluding advice is effectively to make sure that the snacks are there, that they're healthy, that they're sorted through, and for goodness sake, don't go in the bathroom or toilets to snack on that basis, please, you know, please wash your hands.
Yeah, indeed. If you're going to snack well.
Precisely. Dr. Sandra Scott, we've got two final questions to ask you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
I have indeed. I particularly enjoyed your focus on the bathroom. That's leading me to conclude a lot of things about you, Alex.
You see, this is the challenge with respect to psychiatrists and psychologists. You're never quite sure what sort of mental image is coming through. The next critical question exactly is, can we look forward to hopefully looking to feature you again in the not-too-distant future and finding out more about life, the universe, and indeed what it's like being the UK's most experienced media psychiatrist?
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Alex.
Dr. Sandra Scott, we salute you. Many thanks indeed. It's come to something where we actually sort of decide that the show needs a psychiatrist to really sort of open its way forward. And you know, it's strange indeed.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Hey, William, there we are. Do you employ psychiatrists at Waitrose magazine to actually sort of say, what are we going to do with this then, basically? How are we going to actually snack on this thing?
I have a whole fleet of them surrounding me. It's a crucial part of your entourage, you know, as well as security and dietitians and nutritionists, to have people analysing your every thought and everything you say. So particularly on those Thursday mornings where we communicate, I have a whole team analysing what we're saying and then looking rather alarmed, frankly.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we've just got to go for it, much as 3C Cider continues to go for it because of a terrific evening of racing at the joys of Plumpton and celebrations and so on. It was good news, this, surely, in terms of your latest Facebook update.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 3Cs, which will be launching in Fortnum & Mason in a matter of weeks. It's going to become the nation's favourite brand of cider. You heard it here first. And actually, it is a very delicious, refreshing, deeply tasty form of fermented apple juice. So I recommend it highly. I'll make sure you get a bottle when the first one comes off the production.
Well, we've already been very excited about obviously the whole sequence that's going to be faced with within that. And indeed, you know, so excited was Liz Brewer when she actually launched the series of LSJ Presents that she actually came into the studio and came up with this.
Hi, this is Liz Brewer, the author of The Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Sarum 107.3 FM and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
And strange that may seem, I would have thought Liz Brewer, given the surname, would be an ideal connection for the Cider Connection. But it's just a thought there. I just put that out there into the ether. We are weeks away now from when November launches, obviously the 4th of November, with William Sitwell in the fine LSJ Presents slot. Cargill Lecture Theatre, yes. At University of Lincoln. It's very exciting.
Yes, and you need to communicate with me off-air about exactly what it is you want me to...
yes, exactly. It's kind of going to be... I think in conversation with, that's the kind of line that seemed to work quite nicely.
Yeah. I think it would be quite interesting to know something about food, William, and on a related subject, it's a shame you're not in Lincoln today, because it's the International Food Festival on the Cornhill and on Lincoln High Street today. Global traders, apparently, from around the world, and an array of products typical of their region, including French crepes, Indian curry sauces, German sausage and Italian sweets. All of that in Lincoln today. But I think Katie wants to ask you about Chinese chicken soup this morning.
Yeah? Do you like it?
Chinese chicken soup?
No, I do quite like chicken feet when they're chopped up and lots of chilies are added. There's a restaurant in London run by a woman called Fuchsia Dunlop in Soho, where you get basically a pile of chilies that are bigger than the actual chicken, bigger than the chicken in the dish, and the chicken is mainly made up of chicken feet and bones. It's a very weird thing, but actually you can't help but keep eating it. Chinese chicken soup? I don't know. I don't have a particular aversion to it.
I mean, this really...
How the chickens were looked after, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of ties back with a debate that was going on with some of our listeners yesterday who were using social networking sites to address the issue of Chinese chicken noodle soup, to be precise. And they followed that up with sticky chocolate sponge. I just thought, you know, they should have been paying more attention to the show. But, you know, that's... So, how can we legislate for those sort of things? William, which airport are you in at present?
I'm in Heathrow, Terminal 5. I'm about to get on a plane to Zurich.
Nice, that's right. You know, so obviously,
are you looking forward to coming to Lincoln?
I can't wait. I think, you know, can I get there from T5?
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a whole range of things. And dare we ask what you're doing in Zurich? Will it be checking out the chocolate, or will it be a case of no? I've just got to sort out some bank accounts over there.
very funny. Well, yes, obviously, you know, one's got to check on one's offshore. Accounts,
yes.
But also there's a lot of chocolate and a lot of cheese and lots of fondue, and of course there's the odd cooking clock, and I just need to check that they're all in order.
Splendid. That's lovely. And highlights for Waitrose food this month, because I mean, again, they just rush off the shelves. I really should subscribe to the whole thing, but they scoot away. Anything you'd like to sort of particularly flag up in a shameless plug for the actual magazine?
Oh, I don't know, just keep eating apples.
Nice.
I think that's the message.
Keep eating apples. It's very much better than any other sort of junk foods, etc. Finally, actually, the line about becoming a snackered nation. Do you think, taking Sandra Scott's line there, that, you know, it's good to actually snack regularly as opposed to what we've frequently been told, you know, have a large breakfast and, you know, ease your food through the course of the day? Or is it just a case of each individual has their own decision, William? What do you think?
Well, there's long been a debate about this, and for a while, nutritionists were advising people that actually lots of snacks during the day was more healthy, the idea of little and often. Mm. I personally don't think that that's sensible. I think it's antisocial. I don't like particularly seeing people sort of snacking at their desks all day. It looks a bit grubby. And I think also that in terms of civilization and society, I think we're a better peaceful world, more peaceful nations if we can actually gather around the table and eat at particular times of the day. And I think, therefore, that, you know, I think from a civilized point of view, I think from a cultural point of view, I think that snacking is tedious. And I think that you should eat, you know, you should eat more in the morning, less at night, exercise more than you eat. And
that's the solution that's the solution to happiness. I couldn't believe the survey that revealed that something between 6 and 10% of people actually take their snacks in the loo. For goodness sakes, it's not good in any sense of the imagination. Never mind. Ed, any thoughts on this, or questions for William, or anything you'd like to sort of take this conversation on to?
Do we dare talk about airport food or aircraft food? Mm. Will you be snacking... and enjoying a little complimentary basket of nuts or something later this morning, William?
No, I think I'll have to wait and see. I mean, I think that people often find that the airline cuisine
that was the word I was looking for.
People are bored, and also there is a view that...
Just always turn left. On the aircraft, turn left. Don't turn right.
Yeah,
that's the key thing, turn left.
Some airlines actually do really nice food. Because when I went to New Zealand, I experienced some.
Well, there we are. And then that bombshell.
I'm not going to say which airline.
Winnie's Airlines.
Yeah, exactly. Some airlines actually do reasonable food.
It's a top Arabic.
A top Arabic
airline.
Etihad?
No.
Al Jazeera? No, that's broadcast network. Ed, last two questions for William before he goes off to Zurich.
I've just been researching restaurants in Zurich, William, and there are quite a few. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link from your airport this morning?
Fantastic, thank you.
I did like that line. I've just been researching restaurants in Zurich, and there are quite a few. That really helps broadcasting. Lord Reith would be proud of that line.
Apparently, there's one that you eat and drink in total darkness, no lights at all.
Full sensory.
So you can't even see what you're eating, William. Good luck with that one. Can we look forward to connecting with you again in the near future, and indeed in Lincoln before we know it?
It's in the calendar. Let's hope so.
Good man.
I'm so tired. I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired. My mind is on the blink. I wonder, should I get up?